everyone. Welcome to PRPC's Online Message of the Week. My name is Kari Swanson. I'm the pastoral resident here for the summer, and I'm so excited to welcome you to our weekly message. And we would love to have you in person whenever you can come. Today, I'll be starting a mini-series about the church of all ages. So in this series, we will talk about why it's important for our community to be from all ages and how often we like to group ourselves generationally. And it's easy to do that in our faith communities. Now, this isn't always a bad thing. I think there is a special bond that especially forms with people who are in the same phase of life as us, who have and are experiencing similar experiences with us. But the dangers appear when we start to talk about who's in and who's out. I wonder if you've ever heard, well, we just need to get some younger voices in here, just spark some new life. Or these older folks just don't understand our world anymore, and maybe the direction that the church should go. Or maybe you've heard and felt, I am just so tired from life, from kids, from school, from work. Maybe you're a young person and you've often been told your voice doesn't matter in this place. But the fact is, we all bring something very important to the church, from our young ones to our friends of great age and to those people who I'll lovingly refer to as those in the middle, young adulthood all the way to older adulthood. In the story of God, all of these people are important. Our scripture talks about people from all of these stages as prophets, as messengers, and all of them are the people, the children of God. They are valued parts. So for the next 3 weeks, I will highlight these three groups. Today, we will talk about why it is important to have those church members of great age. Next week, we will be led in worship by our youth mission people, those young individuals who served abroad throughout the country for a week. We'll hear their testimonies and experience their leadership. Then finally, the third Sunday, we'll talk about the middles. Now, friends, will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our text today comes from two people and highlights two people of great age. So listen now for the word of God for you and for me in this imaginative reading of Luke 2, verses 22 through 40. Friends, I invite you to take a deep breath. Breathe in and breathe out. Do you smell it? The hot, dry, dusty air that funnels through your nostrils? The smell of animals, goats, and sheep, and birds on their way to ritual sacrifice? And the people, hordes of people sweaty from their travels, greeting each other with a shout or a hello, having made their way far from their homes to the temple in Jerusalem. Off in the corner, you see a mother and father walk in with a swaddle of cloth tucked in the mother's arm. A tiny 8-day-old baby opens and closes his eyes. He's here for his presentation of the temple, just like any faithful Jewish family would have done according to their teachings. But they are not alone. And alongside the two cooing turtle doves used for sacrifice is an older man. He peers down at the baby and he smiles. With a joyful laugh, he springs up with energy that doesn't seem likely for a man his age and sings a song, having been moved by the Spirit, saying, Sovereign Lord, you have promised you may not dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. For it had been promised to this man named Simeon that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. As he finishes speaking, all of a sudden a wrinkled figure appears through the crowds and joins the small family. Her hair is so gray that it's almost white, and wrinkles adorn her weathered face, a face that has seen much, but bears the two lines of one familiar to a smile. You know this woman. She's here every day and night. She's worshiping and fasting in the temple courtyard. Scripture says that her name is Anna. She's a prophet and a woman of great age. She interrupts the small family with an exclamation and a beaming smile, and she begins to praise God. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. The family looks bewildered by the two old men and the woman, but in awe nonetheless. A moment of still within the hustle and bustle of Herod's temple of holiness outside the most inner courts. Friends, our text today, along with some wondering and imagining the scene, we get to fully immerse ourselves in a space of sacred holiness. We meet baby Jesus and his family, who are taking part of a traditional Jewish custom which happens 8 days after his birth. But this scene quickly turns to something holy and God ordained. Two individuals, Simeon and Anna, meet the baby Jesus and proclaim that he is the Messiah they have been waiting for. Now, while both people highlight something different about the promises of God, today we will focus on Anna. In our text today, there are actually only 3 verses about Anna, and we never actually hear the words she says to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. The Bible says that she is a woman of great age, a kindly and reverent way to explain that Anna was quite old. She'd been married for 7 years, but had lived the rest of her life, 84 years, as a widow. Now, scholars argue that she may have been up to 104 years old, depending on how one calculates years together. And even at her age, Anna spends day and night at the temple, praying and fasting in the outer courts of the Jewish temple. Within 3 verses, years and years of Anna's life are simplified down. Years of celebrations, of joys, of hardship, of loss, of knowing God, of following God, years of prayer and fasting. Anna knew a lot about life, and Anna had been walking with God for a very long time. Yet it was a random day in the temple that she prayed in every day and night where she encountered the living God in a child. We don't know how Anna knew this was God, the Son of God. If something was maybe pulling her towards this holy scene, all our text says is at that moment she came and began to praise God. You know those moments when you feel within yourself a tug, a quiet whisper, a gentle hand pushing you forward? The Spirit of God was at work moving the creaking bones of Anna towards Christ. God's work in Anna's life brought her to this moment, and she responded to it, telling everyone she could about this child. She was proclaiming that life and salvation had come to her people, finally. Church, Anna's story is very important, even though we only get a glimmer of it. Her life was rich and full, which led her to encounter God in the flesh, then fill others with hope. This old woman whose life we only know in the barest details shows a faithful God who continues to work in and through this 104-year-old woman. It reminds me of the steadfast church grandmas and grandpas of my own youth who spent hours in the church kitchen preparing feasts for coffee hour for years and years and night and day in their own temple of pots and pans. It reminds me of the ladies who couldn't look like they could walk without a cane or a wheelchair, but could manage two wild children in their arms with renewed strength, holding little images of baby Jesus to the relief of tired new mothers. It reminds me of the dedicated men and women in my church who knew where every hose spigot was, who knew what year the cross was put up, and can remember every single church renovation that happened in the history of the church. Years and years of faithfulness, of walking with God and responding to the invitations to live and tell the good news of God in the kitchen, in the nursery, on the church stage, or maybe even doing maintenance on the building. As the church today, we can attune ourselves to people like Anna, whose voices and stories we may not always get to hear and may not always be valued due to their age in a world that values newness and excitement and youth. Now, those things can certainly be of value to our church and our life, and they are. But the work of God does not just happen in young individuals or people with growing families. No doubt, God is at work in all you who identify in those roles, me included. But in Anna's story, we see firsthand how this woman of God, who knew God, whose life full of wisdom and prophecy we don't know to the fullest, we see she was given an invitation to shout good news about how she had encountered God in a child. While near the end of her life, God showed her he was not done with her yet. My own faithful grandma, who has since passed on, reminds me of this fact. One day, my grandma was babysitting me, a little 5-year-old obsessed with stuffed animals, Barbies, and watching PBS Kids. I remember her telling me, "Kari, we're gonna do something a little different today." She told me that she was gonna practice her next Sunday school children's church lesson on me. So she sat me down on the carpet of my living room floor. She pulled out some Teddy Graham crackers that surely represented something very important in the story. And she taught me about love and about Jesus. My grandma took the time to tell me good news that my 5-year-old self couldn't really understand, but I knew that she loved me and that God loved me. Like Anna, the words she used to me, her own prophetic voice of love and life and redemption in a world, they're lost to me. But I remember how I felt. I will never forget how she loved God, how she loved me, and how she told me that. God was using her in my life, forming memories in me that she couldn't have imagined the legacy of, and the importance that they would bear in my life now as a pastor preaching to you all. Though her words are lost, her story, her life, and faithfulness to God is not. And God used her in my life then, and he continues to use her now. Even though she's gone and I've forgotten the words that she spoke to me about God that day. Church, our members of great age play a vital role in the people of God. We see this in the life of Anna, who, though we only have 3 verses about her, we are told of her faithfulness, how she encountered God, and how she told everyone about what happened. At 104, God said, "I'm not done with you yet." Just as God uses and shows God's self in children, in adults, in single people, in partnered people, the promises and faithfulness of God are shown in our older family too. In these lives, we see the guiding hand of the Spirit bringing us to encounter God when we least expect it in our lives, perhaps even when we're 104 years old. Friends, the story of our elderly church family and the ones that may be hiding away in the church kitchen, they're important. God is at work in and through the lives of those who have many, many years on me, on some of us. There is wisdom and faithfulness and expectation of God moving to be shared from those who have spent many years with God. To the older generation, hear this blessing. As God was at work in Anna, just as Anna encountered the Son of God in the late years of her life, this is a pattern that continues today. Your stories are important, and your life is important, and your work is important. The God who has been guiding your life till now will continue to do so, leading you to important work and to encounter God in special ways. To those of us who may be younger or somewhere in the middle, I pray that we have the grace to look for those people, hear those stories, and be ready to encounter God with our older friends. Amen.